Well, congratulations to my next guest, a three-time cancer survivor, active cancer research patient, advocating locally right here in our own backyard, registered pharmacist, much more on his list, and spokesperson for this topic of financial toxicities. So much to talk about, Patrick Gavin. Welcome back to the morning show.
Thank you, Shelley.
Yes, tell me how you spend your day.
Well, I'm mostly retired, but in that retirement, I've had a few bumps along the road. As you mentioned, I've been diagnosed with cancer three times. Fortunately, all three of those are currently in remission, but that journey started 10 years ago with a very serious cancer. I was diagnosed with stage 4 throat cancer and was fortunate to have my oncologist recommend a clinical trial that ended up saving my life. So since then, I have become very dedicated to trying to give back for the miracle I received, and I volunteer, as you mentioned, as a cancer research patient advocate, both locally and nationally. I got started with our friend Connie Schiponek at the Cancer Research Consortium of West Michigan here in Grand Rapids. I chair the patient advocate committee there, and as Connie does, she tends to introduce us and get us to do more. So she has made some introductions, and now I do some things for the National Cancer Institute. I'm patient advocate committee co-chair for one of the larger ones, the Alliance for Clinical Trials and Oncology, and I also do some things with the Van Andel Institute locally. I'm patient advocate for their epigenetics Stand Up to Cancer Dream Team. But today what I wanted to come in and talk about is something that's very, very important to patients and something that really is having a major impact on patients. And it's been given a name of financial toxicities. And to just give a definition, I didn't invent the definition, but I'm quoting from the cancer.gov page of the National Cancer Institute, where they describe financial toxicities as a problem cancer patients have related to the cost of treatment.
Key points. Financial toxicity describes problems a cancer patient has related to the cost of treatment, as you have mentioned, which I would think it's expensive.
It is expensive, and when we're looking at financial toxicities, there's actually two elements of it. One is what does cancer do to the financial health of the individual, and two, what does the financial health of the individual do for their cancer treatment? And as you mentioned, the cost of cancer care is very, very expensive, and it can vary dramatically depending on the diagnosis. My first cancer was extremely expensive to treat. The other two were still expensive, but less so. So the type of financial toxicity you experience can be relative to the type of cancer you have, your age, race, ethnicity, and very importantly, based on the type of insurance that individual has. So people with advanced stage cancers are more likely to have a higher risk of financial toxicity due to the high costs. People that have recurrent cancers, and we see that a lot in diseases like breast cancer, lung cancer. Cancers that have a poor prognosis tend to be very expensive. And people that have more than one type of cancer, and it's not unusual for someone to have two totally distinct cancers at absolutely the same time. And then in addition to our cancers, all of us as we get older, we also have what are called comorbidities, where we have other things like diabetes or heart conditions or hypertension. Some of the high costs of cancer care is relative, and it's changing. I think in the last few years in particular, I've seen it. I volunteer as a mentor at Gelda's Club, for example, and I hear all kinds of people coming in, and what they're experiencing financially is horrendous in many cases. More and more, we're seeing higher copays being demanded by the insurance companies. Something that most people aren't really aware of until they get sick is the whole concept of out-of-network providers and how that can impact their costs. Drug costs, of course, that's been one that a lot of people are pointing to as the culprit. I think it's one of many contributing factors, but it certainly is a contributing factor. Insurance premiums, we've been hearing a lot about that on the news lately. But other things that people don't think about are things that aren't covered. In my cancer treatment, for example, a lot of the drugs that I needed absolutely just plain weren't covered by insurance. And that can be, in my case, one of them is a non-prescription drug. Even though it's the most effective treatment I had, it's not covered by insurance. We also forget about things like special clothing, special diets, bandages, handicap accommodations, special equipment people have to have. So all those raise the expenses, and at the same time those expenses are going up, the income side may be going down because we're sick.
Right.
We miss work.
I mean, cancer treatment can affect your ability to work and pay your bills. It's chicken and egg.
It's absolutely true. And I see people that lose their insurance as a result of a cancer diagnosis as they progress. I've known of people that have lost their job because of absenteeism due to their disease or their treatment. We forget about some of the other costs, lodging, babysitting, parking, et cetera.
What's the stress on the caregiver?
The caregiver, the stress is huge. In fact, I often describe what my family had to go to is probably harder than what I had to go to. You know, I could participate in the fight. I had chemo. I had the radiation. But they just had to sit back and watch and worry quite often. More and more the household work falls upon them, more pressures for the family income falls on them. One major thing that's being looked at by the National Cancer Institute, though, is the impact of these financial toxicities on the treatment that people are receiving. In addition to the financial impact, a 2.65 higher likelihood of declaring bankruptcy. The financial situation also causes people to make some treatment decisions. Can I afford to have this treatment? I've had several people that I talk to that say, I think I'm going to end treatment now because I don't want to bankrupt my family on the chance that this treatment might work.
So we see people electing
to terminate treatment. We see people admitted to not taking drugs that they need to treat the cancer, or people not taking drugs to treat the symptoms of their cancer. People tend to believe that they have to live with the pain, or they have to live with the nausea from chemotherapy, even though there's drugs out there to help them with that. They just plain can't afford it. It's estimated that maybe as high as one in five patients seek a lesser treatment because of their financial situation.
Financial toxicity is our conversation with cancer survivor and spokesperson Patrick Gavin. What do we do about this?
Well, there's certainly help that's out there. Unfortunately, what I'm talking about today, there's more of talking about the problem than the solution. But the first recommendation I have is ask for help. I was fortunate to be treated at Lax Cancer Center, and they have a great guy there by the name of Dan Sherman, who is a financial navigator. Dan makes it a priority of looking at patient's situation before a problem becomes a problem. He indicated that so often it's a matter of coverage, and he helps people adjust their coverage to get the better care. And sometimes people, you know, they're just plain afraid to ask for help of family, churches, employers, friends. The big thing is that they forget to ask their health care providers about it and indicate that it is a problem. And there's a variety of reasons they do that. But that whole situation is one of the reasons for the NCI commissioning a study. It's SWOG 1417 is the name of the study, Financial Toxicities and it's a study being conducted on colorectal cancer patients, and if people have questions, again, I'd refer them to the Cancer Research Consortium of West Michigan. Their number locally is 616-391-1230 or crcwm.org and ask about the financial toxicity study. But that study is looking at what can we do to help people in these situations and help them address it before it becomes such a serious problem.
And Pat, you obviously are an advocate also for, as you mentioned in your opening, for participating in appropriate clinical research trials?
Yes. I do quite a bit of work with a couple national organizations in addition to locally. I'm patient advocate for the Alliance for Clinical Trials in Oncology. I co-chair the patient advocate committee there. And those of us that are cancer research advocates, we're invited to look at developing research as the studies are formulated. And we are asked to look at them from the patient's view. We're not scientists. We don't claim to be scientists, but they present the trials to us, and what about this study is something that would make a patient be interested in participating or not interested in participating. And increasingly, as patient advocates, we're looking at these financial toxicity issues. We're thinking about things when the study outlines how many scans there has to be, for example, and we recognize the patient copays associated with those scans. We may ask the scientists and clinicians, you know, does this scan need to be done this often, or could it be done at a lesser rate? And I quite often see that the study has changed in response to those questions.
Great. For more questions, can our audience call you, Patrick?
I think the best place to get information is to learn more about the study. There's two places they can go. Cancer.gov is the National Cancer Institute webpage. Just do a search on financial toxicities. Or if you want to know more about the SWOG study I mentioned for colorectal cancer, again, call the Cancer Research Consortium of West Michigan locally, 616-391-1230 or crcwm.org.
Thank you, Patrick Gavin, on behalf of you as a pharmacist, a consulting kind of guy, and a cancer survivor. Keep the faith, and thank you.
Thank you.